This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Today's scripture reading is Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. That is printed on your bulletin as well, if you'd like to read with me or if you'd like to follow along. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. In the interest of citing my sources, I stole the children's chat, or at least the principle behind the children's chat, not actually from a science textbook, although it's in there too, but from the great 20th century preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick. And he didn't talk about Blue Heron Lake. I don't think he knew about it, but he talked about the Sea of Galilee. And Warren, have you seen the Sea of Galilee?
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. And recently, yeah. And you may know Jesus' disciples, many of them were fishermen, and they fished on the Sea of Galilee, which meant what? There were fish in there, right? The Sea of Galilee is lush and green and supports life and does very well for itself. Now, there's another body of water you need to know about, and that's the Dead Sea. Did you see the Dead Sea?
Swam in it twice.
Well, swam on it, right? Floated. Just very much toward the top of it, right? And it's called the Dead Sea, right? So here's the thing, as Harry Emerson Fosdick put it. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are made of the same water. Not just similar water, but absolutely literally the same water. It flows down clear and cool from the heights of Hermon and the roots of the cedars of Lebanon. The Sea of Galilee makes beauty of it, for the Sea of Galilee has an outlet. It gets to give. It gathers in its riches that it may pour them out again to fertilize the Jordan plain. But the Dead Sea, down at the bottom of the Jordan, the Dead Sea with the same water makes horror, for the Dead Sea has no outlet. It gets to keep. The Dead Sea receives all of its water, and then now some of the water evaporates away. You have to sort of neglect that as you listen to this. But the Dead Sea receives the water, and it doesn't go anywhere except to evaporate away, leaving salt behind, which makes Warren float but makes nothing live in the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee makes beauty of the water, for the Sea of Galilee has an outlet. It gets to give. But the Dead Sea with the same water makes horror. The Dead Sea has no outlet. It gets to keep. Now, Fosdick wasn't talking about Blue Heron Lake, although he was. And he wasn't talking about this passage from the prophet Isaiah, but he really easily could have been. I hear in Fosdick's words, I hear some of what Isaiah may have been getting at when he talks about why spend money on what doesn't satisfy. That's a psychological and social and spiritual truth, that it is far less satisfying to spend money on ourselves than it is to spend money on someone else. The path to fulfillment is about giving away. It's about giving away what we have to share with others. And now I'll come in just a moment to a little bit of the problem with connecting the reading in that particular way. But I start with hearing Isaiah calling us to something that we long for, calling us to God's presence, which we can recognize through that meaningful life of self-giving service. Now, I barely have to tell you all that, right? Covenant knows that invitation. We know that deep in who we are. We know that we are called to give away what we receive. That's in our story. That's in our purpose. Our purpose is to bless our neighbors and the world around us in Christ's name. And so for every $5 that comes into Covenant Presbyterian Church, at least one of those dollars goes right back out the door, not to the utility company, but to our neighbors who are in need. And so we look forward to the Mission Fest right back there. We connect our Vacation Bible School and our Wednesday evening Christian Ed programming with mission causes. We move toward hands-on relationships with neighbors in need in our community. Our life is built on this sharing. We are built on this call away from accumulation for its own sake. We know that our vitality lies in what we give away. And Isaiah's invitation comes to us. It has already come to us. Isaiah's invitation, this is actually where I'm finding this a challenge to myself this week. Isaiah's invitation reminds us that this call is for our neighbors as well. It is the same God who calls us into service also calls others into service. Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to these waters." Everyone who feels like they've been spending on what doesn't satisfy and buying what will never fill them up, come to these waters of God's presence. And if giving is better than keeping, then somebody I know is looking to give. If giving is better than keeping, then someone I know is looking for that meaning that comes from serving beyond their own accumulation. Someone I know is hungry and thirsty for that. Which is to say that inviting someone into a meaningful mission is actually a gift to them. It is an invitation to come and buy what does truly satisfy. It's an invitation into God's presence. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself there because I need to hear that. I have to preach to myself because I know the ways that I struggle to invite others into the service and the work that we are about, not just as this congregation, but as part of Christ's church in the world. I know that when I struggle to invite someone into service, it's usually because I'm imagining that I'm inviting them to some terrible burden. But what I'm inviting them to is a gift. What I'm inviting them to is the feast of participating in God's life in this world. But surely you say, I'm missing Isaiah's point. Surely you say I'm missing at least Isaiah's historical context here, right? Because Isaiah is not speaking to a whole bunch of us who feel very comfortable much of the time. Isaiah is speaking to the people of Judah as they have been taken into exile. They've been picked up and hauled off into Babylon, where they have to work for the man every night and day, and they don't get to hang on to whatever it is they make and build and grow. Of course, that doesn't satisfy. Of course, being in exile doesn't satisfy. Now, it's true that we are generally much more free than those exiles in Babylon were at the time. There were no rules at the time about how conquering powers were allowed to treat the people that they had conquered, and in this case, picked up and deported. Now, picking someone up and deporting them after you've conquered them in war, that's now actually classified as a form of genocide. And so these were people living under some of the very worst cultural conditions that we could imagine. So surely we are in better shape than they are. I'll acknowledge that. And so when Isaiah stands up and says, "Why do you work so hard for what doesn't fill you? And why do you spend your labor for what is not bread?" The people would say, "Seriously, we have to load 1,600 shekels, and what do we get? We get everything claimed by Babylon. Everything is taken back from us." So there's no real equivalent here, but then think of how often we find ourselves trapped into working for what doesn't satisfy, trapped into enduring what will never fill us up, trapped into, well, that's why we call it a job, right? That's why we call it work, because we don't always get back from it what it feels like we have put into it. And sometimes we find ourselves trapped not just because we had a bad day and tomorrow will be better, but sometimes we find ourselves trapped in that cycle of accumulation and payments and more stuff, and we know that something is missing, but life isn't perfect, so what are you going to do? And that's where Isaiah interrupts. He interrupts with this whole new invitation from God. Everybody who's thirsty, come to these waters. Everybody who's hungry, come and eat. Buy and eat for free, because something beyond what you have right now truly satisfies. That's not just an invitation to some different work. That's not just an invitation to some different way of doing our work. It's not only an invitation to justice and provision for all, although both of those things are there as well. Isaiah invites us into a whole new experience of God's presence, a whole new instance of the covenant to which God has always been faithful. God promises to be present with us and invites us to recognize and welcome that presence. And one of the ways we do that is by exactly what we do here today. Not just when we gather for worship, but then in just a little bit when we gather again around these tables to share with each other, to receive the presence of God that is with us in our sharing, in our giving, and in the people who sit at these tables with us. What we do here today is that invitation to God's presence, not just because we have a body of water and beautiful location here, but because we share food and drink and love here with each other. Sharing calls us back into that covenant that we have known, that very same covenant that we've heard from the beginning. I keep using that word covenant, and it's no mistake that I'm also using the name of this congregation, right? We know it's built into us as this congregation that God is always promising God's presence in and amidst our sharing with each other and with the community around us. We share God's presence together and God's promises together here. That sharing calls us forward into relationships that neither we nor our neighbors saw coming, to recognize God's presence in the lives of those who are far from us, those who are near to us, and those that we would not otherwise have imagined God's presence to dwell in. That sharing calls us forward into partnership with our neighbors in need, just as we find them. It calls us forward into new generations of mission as we hand this covenant, that very same covenant, on to our children and our grandchildren and other people's children and grandchildren as well. God's presence invites us to give God's presence away, to share God's presence with this world, to share all that God has given us with this world around us, because we have always known that it is giving away that leads to God's presence. Thanks be to God, who calls us to drink deeply from those waters of sharing, generosity, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.